day, everyone, and welcome to the Webster Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's call is being recorded. Now for introductions, I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Joseph Lamb. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Audra, and welcome to the Webster Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is 2007 Daylight Saving Time Changes and the IBM Time Zone Update Utility for Java. Today's presenter is Dave O'Callaghan and Toby Corbin. Dave is a worldwide service manager who is also responsible for time zone issues for IBM Java. And Toby is a lead developer for the IBM Time Zone Update Utility for Java. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Dave and Toby.
Thank you, Joseph. If you could move on to slide two. We'll just go through the first initial part of the presentation I'll take you through before handing over to my colleague, Toby Corbin, to go through the technical overview of the JTZU tool. So I will cover issues about daylight savings, what the DST update requirements for Java is, the service fix strategy for DST updates, and the alternative solution before handing over to Toby to go through the technical details of the tool itself. If you'd move now to slide three, please, Joseph. So there was a US Energy Policy Act in 2005 which added 4 weeks of daylight savings. It brought forward the DST start point by 3 weeks into mid-March and pushed out DST end date into early November. Canada and Bermuda also decided to change in step with the US, as have various other countries in the meantime. So if we move forward now to slide four, please, Joseph. The implications of this are quite far-reaching in terms of applications. Any application which has any time or date-dependent coding in the application or is reliant on time or date information may be impacted during this four-week period, where they may be picking up the old daylight savings rules, and therefore effectively the application will not be in daylight savings for those four-week period. So applications may be impacted if they use any calendar or scheduling functions. So for example, calendar functions going to different people may actually appear in their diary at different times. If the applications are dependent on the date or timestamp, there may be issues with those applications. Or if they perform any type of date or time processing, there might be issues. Where applications cross multiple time zones or interconnecting with systems in other time zones, there may well be the potential for exposure in this 4 weeks period as well. It must be pointed out that this is an industry-wide issue affecting operating systems as well as Java, and affecting Java from all Java vendors as well. If you could move now on to slide five, please, Joseph. Okay, so to get over this daylight savings problem, customers will have to apply preventative maintenance to the installed software development kits or runtime environments. Obviously, the versions of Java are installed in a wide variety of environments, embedded in middleware products on many, many different platforms, and obviously there are also many different installed levels of Java being used throughout the industry and by applications. It is our strong recommendation that customers upgrade to the latest refresh levels of Java for the level of code that they're running, whether it be 131, 142, or 5.0. If you'd move on to the next slide, please, Joseph, slide six. There's a requirement to update Java, as I said. The challenges that customers face with applying DST fixes is that often there is a significant lead time with various testing regimes that they want to put the code through before they put it into a production environment. Some customers may view Java upgrades as being high risk. Some customers are extremely back level or may be running with customized iFixes that have been provided by the Java service team in the past. Obviously, they want to maintain those iFixes at that level, and they don't want to upgrade, or by upgrading to the latest level of code which to take the DST fixes, they might lose the iFix that they have installed on the machine if it isn't included in the latest level yet. The Java service mechanism currently is a total replacement of an SDK, so that is the only way that we can actually update the product currently. You can't just take certain files and update those files. And we've also got added constraints on Solaris and HP UX. Sun and HP Java 131 is very close to its end of life, and 141 is completely unsupported. and Sun and HP will not produce iFixes to back-level refreshes on any release. They're only producing VSD fixes for the latest level of code. As I mentioned before, other countries are also changing in step with the US. Canada and Bermuda have also announced that they will be changing. Various other countries have also decided to change. The options that we have available to customers must also incorporate these other countries, especially, you know, in some cases small countries, where although it may not affect the masses, it may in fact impact individual customers. And there are also other changes to various other countries' DST information, for example, Brazil and, although it says probably Western Australia there, that was a prior, that probably should have been removed. Western Australia did change on the 3rd of December, and so we had to have solution available for that as well. Moving on now to slide 7, Joseph. The Java service fix strategy for daylight savings. IBM products that have embedded a version of Java should make available fix packs or service packs containing the DST-enabled Java service refreshes. Now, obviously, to do this, this would be at the latest level of code. For standalone Java deliveries on DOS, AIX, Linux platforms, DST-enabled Java service refreshes are available from DeveloperWorks, and they can be downloaded at any time and installed on the user's machine. DST-enabled Java service refreshes have also been made available for 1.3.1, 1.4.2, and 5.0 releases only. We have not gone back to prior releases, 1.2.2, and prior to that, to make DST fixes available on those, which are obviously out of support. The reference DST-enabled in this case refers to a baseline that we decided to go with, which was the US and Canada fixes. For the US and Canada fixes, you can obtain that fix in 1.3.1 SR10 iFix code. There is a version called SR10A or SR10 iFix, which incorporates the latest changes. These changes are also in 1.3.1 SR27 for ZOS. They're in 1.4.2 SR6 and 5.0 SR3. And one further point to add with that is that 1.4.2 SR7 and 5.0 SR4 are now also available. And at the time of those being released, they had the latest levels of DST information, so which are later than the baseline which we set of US and Canada fixes. And further information on the levels that are in various service refreshes, and also information on the levels of time zone that are in the JTZU are at that website link that you can get to from the presentation there at the bottom of page 7. If you move on to page 8 now, Joseph. Okay, so the strategy for delivering the DST updates, we decided that we were not in a position to be able to provide iFixes to customers to patch back-level versions of service refreshes. If you can imagine that we have Java running on many different platforms, we have multiple levels of Java in support, 1.3.1, 1.4.2, and 5.0. We are also in the position where customers may be running on various different service refresh levels. And if you take all of these combinations together, it means that if we were to try and provide iFixes at every service refresh on every platform, on every version of Java, we would have hundreds of iFixes to produce, and any time that a new country adds or changes their DST information, all of these iFixes would have to be reproduced for that change. This is obviously something that we realized that we would not be able to do from an iFix point of view. So DST fix delivery for IBM products is contained in those product flashes and tech notes, and they're available from the website that is contained in that second bullet. Customers whose DST enabling requirements are not going to be met by those standard product fix packs should use the IBM time zone update utility. So what that's saying is that the products that ship Java, those that have, and the majority have taken updates to the latest level of Java and shipped that with their product, but it is possible that those levels of Java may still be back level in terms of the latest time zone changes. And so the IBM time zone utility is available, or update utility is available for customers who may need something later than the version included in the latest available service refresh. You'd move on to slide 9 now, Joseph. just to give an overview of the alternative solution, we have created the time zone update utility. This is for customers of products not supplying DST-enabled fixed packs. So there are products that have decided that the method that they want to use for updating Java will be the JTZU utility. That's the Java time zone update utility. It's also for customers with products which applying fixed packs is impractical. So the Java time zone update utility will perform a localized update of the time zone content within the version of Java on the machine. It avoids the total replacement of Java, and it means that therefore deliver any latest changes to time zone information extremely quickly. So IBM is supplying the utility and the latest time zone tables in one package to IBM product teams via the GYM download site so that they can use it themselves if required, and also to customers and ISVs and business partners via the IBM Developer Works website. So this concludes my part of the presentation for the moment, and I'll now hand over to Toby to take you through an overview of the JTZU utility.
Okay, if we could start on slide 10, please. Now, for the remainder of this presentation, we'll be referring to the IBM Time Zone Utility as the JTZU. This is just the internal name that we're using for the tool. As Dave said, it provides the means to update the JRE with a new set of time zone data without having to take a new service refresh. It currently works for Java on 1.2.2, 1.3.1, 1.4.0, 1.4.1, 1.4.2, and 5.0, and also on any early release of 6.0 Javas that we have released from IBM. And it also works on all supported platforms except for 1.2.2 and 1.3.1 on the Solaris and HP UX machines. The tool can run in two basic modes of operation, a graphics mode, which is the basic operation, and a command line mode, the more advanced operation. Slide 11, please. The Jitsu can perform the following tasks. It's able to search and locate for a JRE at SDK. It can patch a JRE SDK at a known location. It can search and locate for JREs and SDKs, patching everything it finds. It can perform a search and locate and then perform a selective patching. And it will also report on any found Java executables, regardless of the vendor. Slide 12. So let's talk about running in graphical mode to start with. This is the default behavior of the tool. It must be run as root user, and it's launched via a shell script. The reason we insist the tool is run as root user is to ensure that we have the correct permissions, or in fact have the right permissions, to be able to perform the patching. Slide 13, running the tool in graphical mode, this is the screen you see when running graphical mode. Very simple, provides you with two options, an interactive mode and a non-interactive mode. Move to slide 14. If you select the interactive mode, all this does is prompt you for a single JRE to update. At the box on the screen, you would enter a single JRE, and the tool will go off and update that JRE with the time zone data that's included with the tool. That's all this mode does. It's a single JRE at a time. Slide 15. If you were to have selected the non-interactive mode, then the tool here will go off and automatically search the entire hard disk for any IBM JREs it finds, and then will update them all if applicable. Now, it's worth noting here that because this is going to perform an entire hard disk search, it will potentially take hours to run. And while this mode is running, you cannot have any Java VMs actually being accessed. So any Java VMs must be brought down. So therefore, any applications that rely on Java must be stopped, because we can't have any Java VMs being actually running when the tool performs the patching, because we run the risk of having two types of data being in the system. Time zone data on the pre-patched code and a time zone object on the new code, and we get inconsistencies. So all Java VMs must be stopped when the patching takes place. So running in this mode, the non-interactive mode, that could take hours, you'll have to have your systems down for a long time. So if we move on to line 16, we have the command line mode that gives the tool full control over how and when the tool patches JREs. We provide a directory search.txt that allows a full configuration of the search. In here you can specify which drives you want to search, which partitions. It has a discover-only mode that will only search for JREs, a patch-only mode which will perform the updates, and a silent mode that requires no user interaction. So discussing these in further, onto slide 17. Now, command line mode is not the default behavior. As I said earlier, the graphical mode is the default behavior. So to run in command line mode, requires the modification of a command line flag, which is in the run JZU AMB file, you set no GUI equal to true. Again, it must be run as root user for the same reasons before to enable the permissions, and it's launched using the shell script run JZU, which is the same shell script as we would launch the tool if it was in graphical mode. Slide 18, we also have a silent mode, which suppresses a warning message that appears when running in command line mode. This warning message effectively warns you that the tool is going to take a while to run, and are you sure you want to go and patch your code? Now, we've enabled this silent mode so that users can write scripts around the tool and not have to be interrupted with this message appearing. So, slide 19, we can control the hard disk search. Now, the directory search.txt file controls where the tool will search for JREs, but this is only applicable in command line mode. The graphical mode does not pay attention to this file and will search the entire hard disk. The keyword all, when placed at the start of the file, will force the tool to search for everything, and this is again the default behavior. Search directories can be removed by adding them to this file and starting the line with a minus sign. Alternatively, the all keyword can be replaced with a specific list of directories by adding them to the file and starting each line with a plus sign. Slide 20 gives us some examples of this directory search.txt file. Now, in the first example, we see the keyword all, so that's going to tell the tool to search the entire hard disk, but then we're saying do a minus C backslash temp and a minus D backslash build test cases. So it says search everything except C backslash temp and D backslash build test cases. Now, these are recursive searches, so it will not search anything under C temp or anything under D build test cases. And in the second example, we don't have the keyword all, and instead we're saying search everything under C backslash windows recursively, everything under C program files recursively, but do not search under C program files sum. Slide 21, we have a discover only mode. Now, remembering back that I said under the graphical mode in the non-interactive, it's going to take hours to run, and you must not have any VMs running at this point because of the patching. What we have under the command line mode is a discover only mode. Now, what this will do is it will only search for JREs, but will not patch them. It enabled by setting the flag discover only equal true in the run JZU ENV script, and any found JREs are written to an SDK list.txt file. So what we can do here is you can have the tool run in discover only mode, but leave all your applications actually running. The tool will go off, do a search based on the criteria in the directory search.txt file, and any found IBM JREs that are applicable for patching are written to this SDK list.txt file. What you can then do is you can manually edit the SDK.list.txt file afterwards if you want to remove any IBM JREs that you don't wish to patch, or IBM release JREs you don't wish to patch. And additionally, the log file will contain details of any Java executable discovered, whether eligible for patching or not. So if it finds a Sun released VM or an HP released VM, you'll see details of it in there, even though our tool can't actually patch it. So on to slide 22. We have the patch mode. Now, in this mode, the tool will patch any JREs that are present in the sdklist.txt file. It's enabled by setting the discover only equal false in the run JTZ ENV file. And as I said before, we can edit this file before running to remove any JREs you do not wish to patch them. And it's at this point you need to make sure that any running VMs must be stopped before patching. So this is going to allow the system admin people to run the tool in discover-only mode and get a complete list of JREs on the system without bringing any platforms down, any systems down, and you'll then be able to schedule at a time suitable for you when you wish to drop any of these systems to run the patch. And this patch mode typically takes about 2-3 minutes per VM on a Windows and Linux box and AIX, and about 5 minutes on a ZOS box. So on to slide 23. So how does the tool actually work? So what we do is, to detect JREs, we look for certain characteristics and files associated with an IBM released JRE. So for 1.4 and above, we look for a core.jar file under JRE lib. Now, for core.jar does not exist under a Sun JRE, so we're safe that we found an IBM released Java. And for 1.3.1, we look for rt.jar under JRE lib, but also the addition of certain ORB and math libraries which distinguish us from Sun. So that's how we know we found an IBM Java. On to 24. We will never replace newer files with old. So if you were to run an older version of the tool against a level of Java that had a more recent time zone data in it, the tool will not update it. Now, for 1.3.1 updates, what we actually do is we replace the time zone classes with pre-compiled versions that we ship with the tool. and for 1.4 and above, we replace time zone binary files in the core.jar with those shipped with the tool. And on Solaris and HP on our hybrid builds, we replace time zone binary files under JRE libZi. 25. All changes made by the tool are backed up, but it's a manual process to revert any changes made by the tool. It's not possible at the moment to be able to get the tool to back out your changes. It's a manual job. Now, under 131, the rt.jar file, which contains the time zone data, is backed up under JRE lib as rt.jar_jzu_backup. For 1.4 and above, we back up the core.jar, and for Solaris and HP hybrids, we back up the ZR directory. Now, if you wanted to revert the changes, the log file that's created during the run will tell you which Javas you were to be patched. So by using that log file, you can go back on a manual process, locate the directories that were changed, and then manually make the changes by replacing the files with these backup files. 26. Everything the tool does is logged. A logfile.log is created that details everything the tool does. And this is an important part for if any debugging issues or problems arise when running the tool. It shows all the search paths that it ran along. It shows all found Java executables, all detected JREs, all patched JREs, and any errors get logged to this file. This should be the first point of call if anything should go wrong when running the tool. 27, just a few miscellaneous points. As I said already, when the tool is patching, all VMs to be patched must be stopped. Now, this will be applicable then when running in the graphical mode or when running in the hatch-only mode on the command line. The machine itself does not need to reboot after running the tool. You just need to restart the VMs. And it's worth pointing here that the OS itself may require patching. 28. We've had a few known problems with Java and time zones, not actually related to the JZU tool, but they're worth mentioning here. The first one is a US regression when going from 142 SR5. It was with time zone names being hard-coded in customer applications. This is introduced when upgrading to 142 SR5 or later, and it's effectively anyone that had hard-coded a time zone of EST into their applications and were expecting time zone DST values to apply to that. From this point onwards, EST as a time zone does not have daylight savings time applied to it. It's been changed to be EST5 EDT. So any customers that have hard-coded EST as a time zone and expect to get DST applied either need to change that time zone to be EST5 EDT or use the correct way of specifying a time zone, which would be along the lines of saying the time zone is America/New York. And number two, for Java 131, the JVM must be started with E=2007 to pick up 2007 DST fixes. Now that we're in 2007, the 2007 values will be correct, but historical data in 2006 will be incorrect. This is unfortunately just a flaw in the way that 131 was designed with time zone data. This is why it all changed from 1.4 and above. It's not possible to have historical time zone data running in 131. Number three, adjustment required for Brazil DST start and end dates. These values are now actually in the most recent JTZU tool. So this is no longer a problem, providing you're on the latest version of the tool. Let's move on to slide 29. I'll just pass you back to Dave to give us the last few comments on service fixes.
Thanks, Toby. Okay, to summarise the support position from IBM's point of view on DST fixes within Java, the primary mechanism is that we would prefer customers to provide the service packs or fix packs supplied by their product that would include the latest level of Java, which will have DST-enabled fixes. The JTZU should be considered as a secondary mechanism, where the first primary mechanism is, for whatever reason, not workable in the particular user environment. So in some cases, the product itself may not actually be planning to ship DST-enabled versions of Java included with a fixed pack bundle. Alternatively, products are making a fix available. The customer will have a choice. Many factors will influence that choice, but the default IBM recommendation is to apply the product fix packs as the normal method. To cater for exceptional circumstances not covered by the fix pack delivery, the products will advise their clients to run the JTZU against their installed systems to perform the required upgrade. Moving on to slide 30, please, Joseph. So examples of this may be for late changes to time zone information for particular countries. So even at this late stage, we may have further countries decide that they want to move
The JTZU tool will allow users to update their time zone information to the latest levels that is relevant to their particular install base. A client, for example, might have a back-level product, either GA product or a back-level refresh level, that contains a back-level version of Java, which does not therefore contain any DST fixes. They might be unwilling or unable to upgrade to the latest version of Java. A client, for example, might have an iFixed version of Java with one or more instances of fixes that have been built for them for problems that they have seen in the past, and they do not want to move off that known level of code, and so would want to use the JTZU tool in that circumstance. A release of Java, for example, that are unavailable with DST fixes at the latest level of code. So levels of code, for example, that are out of support can only be patched with the JTZU tool. And a customer may have a vendor product that prereqs a particular level of Java, and therefore they must stay at that level of Java to receive support from that vendor, and in which case they may be in a position that they have no choice but to stay there and to use the JTZU tool. So moving on to slide 31, please, Joseph. So for further information or various questions that you need answering, there is a task ID that we've set up, jtzu@uk.ibm.com, and this is staffed by members of my team, both here in the UK and also in India and in Canada, to have time zone coverage and therefore to give the best response we possibly can to various questions on this email, so that hopefully you'll get a response very, very quickly to any questions that you have. And there are also some important DST-related information in those four links that are also on that page, and I advise that you go and look at those websites to get further information. So on to slide 32, please, Joseph. So we have some additional WebSphere resources here. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. These include DeveloperWorks, which offers in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points to a webcast and conference information. You can visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. There's also the IBM Education Assistant, which consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The ESR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Support link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Next slide, please, Joseph. Q&A.
Thank you, Dave and Toby, for a great presentation. At this point, Audra, we would like to open the line for questions.
We'll go to our first question from Vasu Nalam at Altel.
Hi. My question is, what is currency certification and how to obtain or get that one?
Sorry, could you repeat the question, please?
I mean, I read on the IBM websites a lot of times that we need to have a currency certification for the DST changes. And what is that and how to get that?
Currency certification?
Yes.
If you're talking about Java certification, the use of the JTZU tool does not impact any prior certification that your product may have. Well, certainly not going to affect any Java certification. But I'm not sure I'm answering your question because I'm not sure that I fully understand what your question is referring to.
Okay, in that case, I'll email it to you otherwise.
By all means, please send an email to the JTZU user ID if you want to progress this further. I'd rather not leave you hanging. If there's some specific concern that you can articulate in an email, then please send it to us and I'll make sure that we respond to you quickly.
Yeah. On all the download DST sites, I mean, I have read that we need to do a currency certification once we do the DST changes. So I'll send an email regarding that.
So you're referring to checking the DST changes have actually worked?
Exactly.
Right. Okay. So what you can do is to, if you use the JTZU tool, for example, you can run that in discover-only mode, and that will allow you to verify that the time zone file, the TZ data file, has actually been updated to the latest version. And the version of the tool that you download from the website, the last two digits will refer to the time zone level. So, for example, the latest version will contain the suffix of 7A which refers to the 2007A time zone utility.
Okay.
So you can verify that, but obviously also you are able to, if you set your clock to time in the future to test the DST settings, you can test that they are actually working. And certainly the feedback we've had so far is that the JTZU tool and the updates we've provided within the service refreshes have successfully been updating people's DST information. So you shouldn't have any problems, but obviously if you do encounter any issues, we would like to know about them as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you.
We'll go to our next question from Mike Childers at IBM.
Yes, I'd just like to know, are these slides available?
Yes, this tech doc and this presentation is available. If you go to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange website and click on today's presentation title, you will see a PDF file that you can download to your computer.
Go to where?
The WebSphere Support Technical Exchange website. Or alternatively, you can go to any IBM.com website. And at the search box found at the very top right of the page, if you type in the number 700-9233, you will be directed to the document.
All right, thank you.
No problem.
Next, we'll move to Brian Nitzel at Co-operators.
Hi there. I had a question. What if you do run the JTZU while the VM is running?
Well, if you do run it while the VM is running, the tool will probably end up patching your VM okay, but you do run a very big risk of any time zone objects that you've currently instantiated within the code that maybe have taken the details before the patch, and you then ran the patch and then took another time zone object within the code afterwards, you're going to have a mismatch of data whilst your application is actually running, which is why we strongly advise making sure your VM is not actually running when the tool runs.
I mean, one thing to clarify, you obviously need a version of Java running to be able to use the tool to patch Java. So you will have to have Java running, but any Java applications you should stop so that you're not in the position where you're updating time zone information that may impact the integrity of your application.
Okay, I combined it with some server maintenance and I did a reboot on the server, so I should be okay then, basically.
Yeah. Sounds like the right thing to do.
Okay. Because I found when I ran the discovery only mode afterwards, they all came back saying, you know, they were updated properly.
That's it. I mean, as I said, it will do it. It will patch it, but for the, as Dave said, for the integrity of the data within that running VM.
Okay. Well, I did it kind of after hours when most people weren't going to be using it anyway, so.
Exactly, yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
We'll go to our next question from Jarisar Duwaja at HSBC.
I have a question, like, if we have different versions of Java running on the same system, when we run this tool, how is that going to fix? Is it going to fix all the versions of Java, or is it going to just fix only the any particular version?
The tool will patch. The latest available tool that's available will actually patch all IBM versions of Java. I say IBM versions of Java, so any IBM platform running our Java will be patched. If you're running on Solaris and HPUX, on those platforms from 1.4.2 onwards, we shipped a hybrid version of IBM Java. So we have Sun's Java or HP's Java for that platform, and we bundle that together with IBM Value Add. And we can update that version of Java to update DST information. In the latest version of the tool that's on the website, we can also, we've been given special permission by Sun to patch Sun 131 instances of Java on a Solaris machine. This is non-IBM hybrid Java. This is Sun Java that we've got special permission from Sun to actually patch. So you can use JTZU for that. But you cannot use JTZU to patch HP, non-hybrid HP versions. And you can also not use the tool to patch non-hybrid 1.4.1 versions on Solaris. So there's a slight complication there. It's not straightforward. But what will happen with the tool is that when you run it in discover-only mode, it will tell you all of the instances of Java that are on the machine, whether they be IBM Java or not, and it will then also in the log file tell you which versions of Java it successfully patched. And therefore, the versions of Java it has not patched will allow you or give you the prompt for you to be able to investigate
whose Java that actually is. And so you can run a Java minus version against that particular version of Java. And if it's Sun Java, then obviously you have to look at either applying product maintenance to get the latest version of Java or applying the latest version of Java code that's available from the Sun website or by using the Sun TZ updater tool to be able to update that particular version of Java.
From the GUI window, you said that you're going to get a list of all the jar files that we're getting. From that one, if I can I select that I need to have a patch applied to only to certain Java?
No, you can't do that using the GUI version. That's why we have the command line version. So running the command line version, first of all, in discover mode, will create an sdklist.txt file that will list all the Javas it's found that it can patch. So you'll have a whole lot of maybe 131s, 140s, 50s. It will show them all in there. And then what you can do is, because it's just a pure text file, you can go and manually edit that file to remove any ones you don't want the tool to patch. So that's the way it would work. But as I say, the tool, if you run it, the tool will be able to, in a single run, find all the different types of Javas and then be able to patch them all in one go. You don't have to run it once against just the 131s, then run it again against the 140s and again against the 50s. You can do a single run and it will find them all and patch them all.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
We'll go next to Rick Petetti at IBM.
Yeah, hi. Just a quick question regarding the product brands and the JRE remediation that they're providing with their products. My understanding is that the majority of the product brands are only remediating the daylight savings time issues just for the USA and not the other countries. And I know that it varies from one product to another depending upon what they're doing, but my understanding is that most of them are only supplying the daylight savings times at this point in time for the USA. And I know that you commented earlier regarding it being the primary source of remediation for daylight savings time. But it appears or seems to be that that might be the reverse, whereas the JCZU could be and should be maybe the IBM recommended approach followed by the six packs. Can you comment on that, please?
There are exceptions to every rule, obviously. One of the things that a customer or a user may want to consider is, are their applications indeed impacted by DST issues at all outside of the US? Many customers may be using applications that are actually not impacted by DST issues. And obviously, if that's the case, then they do not need to update any DST information at all. However, if a customer is unsure, we would always advise that they do at least go up to the latest product maintenance. Running JTZU, however, is a relatively painless way of being able to update the version of DST information on the machine. And if a user decides that they need something later than the latest product maintenance will give them, then using JTZU in that case is the recommended approach.
Okay, just a further comment to that is that the majority of the brands have packaged these daylight savings time updates along with regular product maintenance. So what typically you would wind up having is customers upgrading with six packs all of their product maintenance for a particular product, increasing the risk of failure for some other issue outside of daylight savings time.
Absolutely, and that is something for the user to think about and to decide what is the best strategy for them. And if the best strategy for them is to use JTZU, then they should go ahead and use that. They will be fully supported from a Java and product point of view if they have updated the version of Java using JTZU. There are no service issues associated with using that tool, and the feedback we've had from the tool so far is that many hundreds and hundreds of customers have used this tool to upgrade their levels of Java. It's been used by many hundreds of people internally within IBM to upgrade levels of Java as well. We are unaware of any problems that have been introduced by the tool in any shape or form. And so it is a very reliable method of being able to update the DST information. And if people, or for any reason they can't apply product maintenance or don't want to apply product maintenance, then they are at liberty to use JTZU without any problems at all.
Thank you.
We'll move next to Robert Liu at ClearApp.
Hi there. We chose to use a service pack. We apply 142 SR6 and SR7, and after we applied the patch, and the IBM WebSphere portal server would not start and just hang. And are you aware of any problems?
No, I'm not aware of any problems in that area. Have you raised a PMR for the issue?
We have not yet.
Okay, by all means, please raise a PMR. It may be a problem with Java, it may be a problem with Portal. It certainly needs to be investigated, and I'd be very grateful if you could raise that PMR so that we could take that further.
Sure, I will.
Thank you.
Next, we'll go to Uresh Patel at FIS.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Uresh. I have a question whether after applying this patch, do we need to restart the server? And second question, if we just apply this JDK utility patch, do we have to apply the OS patch if required? Like,
our recommendation is that the OS patches should be applied. As far as stopping the server is concerned, we recommend that you stop all the versions of Java that are being patched, and that's as far as you need to go.
Okay, and we found some of the issues initially before finding this tool. We updated the JDK and we found that a lot of Java core and heap terms was generated updating the JDK. And we immediately found this tool was very useful, but we haven't tested the apps yet. I don't know, is the JDK update cause problems with core dumps, heap dumps?
We're not aware of any. I can only assume that it may be something specific to your environment. But as my advice for the last caller, if you could please raise a PMR to document those issues, we'd be very grateful.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll go next to Richard Sung at HSBC.
Hello. Actually, I have a couple of questions, which is won't waste your time. I noticed that from the presentation slides, the JDZU will cover several versions of IBM JDK, starting from version 1.2.2. I just wonder, because some old systems may have JDK 1.1.8, I wonder if it would be patched by JDZU.
The previous versions of the tool required the tool to be run with a Java 1.3.1 or above just to run the tool. It would, however, patch 1.2.2. For the latest version that's available on the web, we've actually made some internal adjustments to it so that it does not rely on the same mechanism to update the version of code. It will now uses a Java zip function, which is available on 118 code, to be able to unzip the jar file and to update the time zone information and to then zip it back up again. So, yes, we believe that this tool will work with 118 as well.
Okay, I still got two more questions. I noticed that from your website, it says for JDZU on AIX that you come with two packages, one for 32-bit JDK, one is for 64-bit JDK. I just wonder if I have both 32 and 64-bit JDK on the same machine box, do I have to one run the JDZU separately, or in fact I could run JDZU in one go and the utility could search for the JDK and patch every one of them?
As of the latest version of the tool, in fact the what's on the web at the moment, we no longer have to specify 32 and 64-bit versions of each tool. In fact, there is now, I believe, only two versions to download, one for ZOS machines and one for everything else. Because of the way we've changed internal mechanisms, we do not have to specify platform-specific versions. So the single tool will be able to patch your 32 and 64-bit versions now. We don't have a different version. So if you go and download the latest version of the tool, that will be able to cater for your 32 and 64-bit versions in one go.
However, to go further on that, to answer your question, you only need to download the version of what you have downloaded already. If you have both the 32-bit and 64-bit versions of that prior tool, you only need the version of the tool. If you are running the tool with a 32-bit Java, you need the 32-bit version of the tool, but the tool, when it is then running, will patch Java on 64 and 32-bit versions. So you must match the version of Java you use to run the tool with the version of JTZU that you've downloaded, but it will patch all Javas. Having said that, as Toby said, if you use the latest version that's available on the website, there is just one version available, regardless of whether it's 32-bit or 64-bit, it will still work.
Just want to know what you mean by the latest version. Can you give me a version number so that I could check whether the version at hand is already the most current one?
Okay, the latest version is 1.3.7a. If you go to the JTZU download page, you will see that the 1.3.7a is there.
Okay, I see. The last question is, because as you know that our servers on different time zones runs on different time settings. For example, in Hong Kong, we are in GMT8. I just wonder, because in fact in Hong Kong we don't have daylight savings, so how would our system be affected by this issue?
If your application is running purely on Hong Kong servers with no daylight savings changes at all, or even if, regardless of what time zone you were running in, if the time zone information, whether you have DST changes or not, if there's no changes been made in that time zone and your application is only referring to that particular time zone, then it's not going to be impacted by the DST changes. However, what you must consider is if your application is accessing machines remotely or is in any way reliant on date and time information coming from external machines to Hong Kong, you have to consider if those machines have been impacted by daylight savings. If they have, then it is possible that your Hong Kong machines may also need to be updated so that you don't have any inconsistencies.
Okay, thank you.
Next we'll move to Emily Sarwin at AT&T.
We recently did a JDK upgrade on SR10 for WebSphere 5.0, and our full version level right now is at CA131-2006-0605, showing SR10. We did it for both the application server and the plant manager, but when another member of my team ran the utility tool, it's still reporting back that the Java information is old and that the Java needs a time zone update. Is there anything else we need to do other than the full fixed pack service release 10 to make it DST compliant?
SR10 includes the fix for the US. It does not include the fix for Canada. So what you need to determine is, do you need Canada or anything later? And whenever you run the tool, if the version of time zone that you have is older than the version of time zone that is bundled with the tool, then it will report that it is old.
But it could still, if our servers only run in the U.S., we could still be fine with the service release 10.
Correct.
If there's a newer version out there that accounts for other countries.
That's correct.
Okay.
So what we have here is a moving target, which is the reason, as I articulated earlier on, the reason why we needed the tool was because we couldn't go with an iFix approach because of the moving target. Anytime a country changes time zone, we needed to be in a position where we could respond quickly, and the only way to do that is to have a tool to do it.
Okay, so to repeat again, just for my own, so if we have WebSphere 5.0.2.10 and with Java 1.3.1 and we apply the SR10 and our servers are only in the U.S., we should be fine.
Yes.
Okay. What about for, we haven't run the tool yet, but we also have WebSphere 5.1.1.3 servers, and we applied the SR7 fixed pack for that. Are we okay there?
SR7 is the latest available SR. If you go to that website that I've pointed to in the presentation, it will give the view of what version of time zone file is included with each service refresh.
This would be for US also, just for US.
Yeah. So, I mean, if it's just for US, what you have there is US and Canada was shipped in SR6.
Okay, and we've put on SR7.
So SR7 brings you a little bit more current with various other changes gone in there for support of various other countries.
Okay.
The latest version in JTZU is also later than what you have put on.
So we would get the same error even though the SR7 would be perfectly at a level perfectly fine for our use?
That's correct.
Okay.
If you are just concerned about the US fix, then you already have that and you don't need to do anything further.
Okay, that's great. That's the questions ahead. Thank you.
We'll take our next question from Donald Patterson at T. Rowe Price.
Yes, thank you. We've talked about how we can use the utility to discover where the patch was applied, and I've found various snippets on IBM websites on actually testing the patch that was applied. However, the ones I've discovered, like timetest.jar, requires you to change the time on the server and watch it as the time displays. Some of the snippets that I found for Java code will actually pull out the start and end time for daylight savings time. So that leads me to believe that you might have a JavaScript that I could use to perform a quick test, a sanity check.
The timetest.jar that you just mentioned, it does two tests, if I remember rightly. The first part of the information it displays is to tell you whether you are patched for various levels on Java, and you then get the second part of the test that runs, which is the scrolling time, which is just monitoring to see if your OS is switching correctly. So if you just want to check that Java's okay, you can just run the tool without changing your system clock and just abort it the minute you get the scrolling text going through, and that will show you whether the Java patches have been applied.
Right. I not only know that the patch has been applied, but know that it works.
Well, that test, under the covers, what that test is doing is it is actually setting some dates internally and checking that they are actually at DST level.
Ah, that's what I...
That's why it then just says yes or no. That's under the covers what it's doing.
Okay.
Now, if you want a test that you can run yourselves, if you email the JZU email address, they'll be able to send you some code or something similar to do that if you want to see it yourselves.
Yes, I'd like to. So who do I give that to?
That'll be email the jtzu@uk.ibm.com email.
Yeah, I've tried that, and they didn't provide that to me. They provided me the timetest.jar, and they suggested that I change the clock and watch it run, or just run the test as you mentioned, but they didn't tell me that behind the covers was actually checking the time zone file and...
Yeah, what it's doing behind the covers is actually using the time zone API.
Yeah,
it sets it to be within the new DST rules and then says, is DST applied correctly on this day? And then it just simply reports back to the user, yes or no, rather than giving all the information. The other tool that you've seen running that gives you the big list of dates is doing exactly the same as the timetest.jar, but shows you the workings effectively. One tool doesn't give you the working out, but gives you the same result. The other tool shows you the workings out.
And what's the other tools?
That was, I don't have the name of that, but I believe that's the one you said you'd mentioned you'd seen that shows you a whole list of start and end dates on the screen.
That's what I'd like to see.
Now, there is a tool in process at the moment that's going to get published soon.
Okay, so I'll have to look for that on what website, you think?
It will probably be a link to it from the DST websites.
All right, thank you.
We'll take our next question from Abraham Sherian at IBM.
Yeah, this is Abraham. I had downloaded the tool and ran it and fixed my JREs. It shows TZ data 2006P. Should I download the latest and run it again, or that is sufficient?
It depends on what your DST requirements are. The 2006P was the last one of 2006. The version that we're now running with is 2007A. There was only minor changes in 2007A. It's probably unlikely that you would be impacted by them. So the 2007A had an update for the Bahamas, Eritrea, the Faroe Islands, and somewhere called Euclea, E-U-C-L-A. Not sure where that is. But so there was only four changes, Bahamas, Euclea, Eritrea, and Faroe Islands. So if you're not impacted by, or you don't have any business ongoing in those four areas, then you do not need to apply any further maintenance.
Just for a testing purpose, I could download the latest and run it over again, and it will reapply, and it will show up as 2007A.
Yes, if you download the latest version, it will update to 2007A. But as I say, unless you have actually business in those four countries I just mentioned, then there is no need to take the maintenance any further from where you are at the moment.
Okay, thank you very much.
And next we'll go to Michael Clark at IBM.
Hi, I had an installation of 130 on a Windows box that was running a third-party application that's way out of date and unsupported. We ran the Jitsu tool on it, and I know that's not, it's kind of an at-your-own-risk, I believe, on that version. And we're getting some exceptions on, actually, the time zone data class. and I'm not sure exactly that we've tried 131, and that actually conflicts with the application a little bit, so we're kind of stuck with 130. I just wonder if there would be any kind of recourse for looking into those exceptions. The vendor is kind of not a resource at this point.
I guess you did try. I guess by reverting the changes manually, the problem went away straight away. So you did manage to narrow it down to being the time zone tool itself that made the change, yeah?
Correct. The actual replacing the RT jar back to its original state worked.
I mean, this is because the actual time zone class that we ship is a 131 specific, and I imagine a slight difference in the 131 and 130 implementation of the class, so we can't do a direct replacement.
And what's interesting is, yeah, you're right, because when we upgraded to 131 and applied the DST fix, and you know everything works. However, there's some problems within the application just due to the Java version, so we're kind of stuck with 130 at the time being. Just open to any ideas you might have.
The only solution for that would be to actually take the 130 files and manually code them here in the Java Technology Center and supply that version for 130, which as 130 has been out of support now for so long, we were not planning on doing. There are always exceptions. If the user is willing to fund this work, then it may be something that we can discuss with them. However, because it's out of support, we have no plans at present to actually do that on 130.
Okay, I understand. One last question related to this. The fact that the application was choking on that class, would that give evidence that the application is using those classes for functionality and that this would be suspect to the vulnerability come March 11th?
Well, it's going to use that. It's going to use those classes irrespective of doing DST work. Even if you're just, for example, creating something in GMT, you're likely to get a default time zone class out of there. If the signature for the functions has changed slightly between the two levels, then even doing a default time zone calculation could cause it to choke.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll run that by the project manager. Thank you.
Okay.
And next we'll go to John Rudy at IBM.
Yes, let me ask a general question here. If you're an operating systems system administrator and you've got tens to maybe hundreds of systems, you're not entirely sure what Java applications are running or where in the world regions, if any, they're communicating with or performing calculations against, what kind of Java DST maintenance strategy would you recommend? This may be obvious, but I just wanted to hear your opinion.
Given that the feedback we've had from users at this time is that the JTZU is an extremely reliable way of being able to update DST information without causing any problems to production environments, and in fact many customers have taken the decision that after doing some testing that they're just going to update their production environments and not worry about having to go through extensive testing. We would advise that it would be prudent to just update everything.
Right. Do you think JTZU is here to stay for future world time zone changes?
It will certainly stay for the near future. One of the issues that this has exposed is that our current method of distributing daylight savings information is not ideal. And we are looking at other methods of being able to deliver this DST information, perhaps automatically for the future. So it is something which we are considering. We don't like the idea of people having to go and manually update time zone information when it changes. We do not anticipate significant countries changing in the near future. However, I know, for example, that in the UK it was discussed in Parliament just recently about changing to British summertime for the whole year. It was rejected. But as in many countries, they may well decide to move at any point in time. And so having to deliver it via this method is something that is more invasive than we would like. And so we are looking at options for what to do in the future. But for the moment, the JTZU will remain available as the vehicle to update DST.
Thanks for the information.
And at this time, we have no further questions.
At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today was useful and valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Dave and Toby, for presenting today.